For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Open your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 3 today. I'm not preaching a prophetic message, but I am in Revelation chapter 3 today. Revelation chapter 3. Let me challenge you this month as we begin. You're here now. So let me challenge you these summer months to string together four consecutive Sundays. Can I challenge you to do that? If you're in town, I know sometimes people travel and they have plans, vacations, things like that. But don't just be at home. Don't just be at home. Plan to be in church. And let me encourage you this. Not only that, but it's surprising sometimes how many times the devil just causes bumps and chuck holes in the road to keep us out of church, you know. And how many would say, Pastor, I've struggled with that, just trying to string together, you know, okay, nobody, then I'll just move on here. Let me challenge you to be here every Sunday in June, and then we'll work on July, you know, then we'll work on August. And I think after COVID, it just, you know, I think our definition of faithfulness has somehow changed. But I don't think God's has. But let me challenge you. You'll grow in the Lord. You'll do better spiritually and across the board, you know, if you'll be in church. Just, you know, just come. Be here. Even if you don't feel like it. And then let me challenge you this. Not only Sunday morning, add Sunday night to that. Add Wednesday night to that. You say, Preacher, I've never come on Wednesday night. Come Wednesday night. You know, we're doing the life of David, studying the life of David through the summer months. And especially you Awana leaders. You know, Awana is a wonderful program. My only problem with Awana is it doesn't run 12 months like Sunday school. And I don't know why, but it doesn't. If you're an Awana leader, let me challenge you as an Awana leader to take these months, these summer months, to come and glean and to grow and to refuel and recharge and revive your spirit. Just come and be in a Bible study on Wednesday night. It'll help you. It'll help you. And you'll be happy you did. You'll grow in the Lord in that. Just because we don't have Awana and you're a leader doesn't mean that our responsibilities and obligations to the Lord end there, you know. We're always an example to the Lord. Now let's look at our text this morning, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. Notice John, as he writes here, he says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write." The angel was the messenger. It was the pastor. And as you know, pastors are angels, aren't they? "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth, I know thy works." Isn't that good to know that God knows? "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan," and that's crowds always around, even back then, "which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of thy patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation." He's writing to the church, a local church in Asia Minor, modern day Turkey, Philadelphia, "which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Lord, I sure thank you for these wonderful songs and graduates today, all that's been accomplished and remembered and rejoiced over. And we do rejoice with those that rejoice and we're proud and happy and excited about the future. And Lord, as we think about these young people, I think of all across the spectrum. I think about the future. And Lord, we're excited for them and excited about our future when young people like this launch out into the deep and further their life. And Lord, I know that America, all of America, is not as sometimes we paint it. And we thank you for these that have accomplished so much. We pray for your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to just lift that phrase out of this chapter in verse 7 where he says, in verse 8, he said, I have set before thee an open door. Now, let me give you the setting here. Jesus here is speaking to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Of course, these were seven churches that actually existed. They had pastors, they had angels for pastors, just like you do. And you might say, well, you're a fallen angel. Well, angel's an angel. And but anyway, they had pastors, they had messengers. And Jesus, it says, he had the stars in his right hand. He walked among the seven churches, and he had a message for those seven churches. And so he had a message to that local church. And then we know that these seven churches, of course, line up with church history. And this church, the church at Philadelphia, was really the church that we know is faithful. It's the sixth out of seven. Laodicea, the Laodicean period is, I believe, where we're living today. It's the church that's left their first love. It's the lukewarm church. And I believe that's where we are today. Here he's addressing the church at Philadelphia. The church of Philadelphia was a faithful church, a faithful church. The church at Philadelphia, if you go there, if you go to that place, I forget the Turkish name for it now. I was able to be there a few years ago and visited this place. And there are still some ruins of Christian churches in that area, although it's 99.9% Muslim now. There are still some ruins of some old Christian churches. And you think about the faithfulness of those churches. But a few years ago, there were ruins from 25 churches that can still be found there. I don't know how many now. But the last Christian city to surrender to the Turks who overran that part of the world in the 14th century was Philadelphia. The church was finally overrun. There were faithful people there that fought for their faith, literally fought for their faith, that continued to preach the gospel, that continued to sow the seeds of the Savior there. And he says to this church, he said, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. He said in verse 8, he said, you have a little strength. They have a little strength. He said, you've kept my word. He said, you've not denied my name. This was a pretty good church, really. And he said, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. He said, I'm going to bless you because you've been a faithful group of people. I believe that as we look at our church today, centuries later, as we look at our church today, I think God's saying the same thing. You know, life is a series of open doors. It's a series of open doors and closed doors. And it's a series of decisions and all of that. And I want to address the graduates today, but honestly, this message applies to all of us. You know, there are doors that open, doors that close. That, you know, there are opportunities, there are obstacles, there's always an outcome. And how's that determined? By finding the will of God and doing it and walking through open doors, praying as we go, being filled with the Spirit as we go. And I think I just can't help but think of these young people today. You know, I mean, you always think of a fresh start. I want to give you three thoughts about this open door today. You know, open doors come in many forms. Open doors look different to different people. But I want to challenge you today to look for the open door. I want to challenge you as a church here. You know, our church was birthed back in 1866, and we celebrated our 150th anniversary in 2016. Seemed like just a year ago, but it hasn't been. I want to challenge you to look for the open door. God still has an open door of blessing. He's a big God with big promises. And He wants to bless us. And He wants to bless us individually. But let me give you three thoughts today and we'll close. And you go home and eat some roast beef or something. Amen. Number one, let me say about this open door. He said, I've set before thee an open door. This church probably was discouraged. It represents the faithful church in all ages. It had been decimated by earthquakes. That part of the world is just, it's just an earthquake waiting to happen. Still is today. If you go to the ruins of Colossae, that's exactly what it is. It's all underground. It's been ruined and decimated by earthquakes. Just last year, earlier this year, there was a large earthquake in Turkey again. And so he was trying to encourage them. They'd had setbacks. He knew that there'd be setbacks and challenges ahead. But he said, I want you to know, I've set before you an open door. Number one, I want you to notice this. When we think of graduation, when we think of life and we think about a diploma, I think about this, I think of contentment. An open door of contentment. A goal that's been achieved. A goal that's been achieved. I mean, what these books here represent and these gifts and well wishes and all of that. And, you know, I look at these young people up here and I think of all that went in, to that diploma. Hours, miles, dollars, tears, all that went into that. All that went into that. As Pastor Grant said, 13 years a high school diploma. I sometimes kid the kids around here. I said, what grade are you in? They said, fifth. I said, that was my favorite grade. I spent 5 years in the fifth grade. They never get it. They never get it. But you think about a goal achieved, 13 years, 4 years for a bachelor. Maybe you cram, 6 years into four or 4 years into six. 7, 8 years, 10 years as a doctor, I don't know, and all these additional years, a goal that's been achieved. There's contentment in that, isn't there? And you know, I'm glad some of these young people, real estate, amen. Look me up in a few years. I might want to buy a third of an acre with no grass on it. Remember your pastor, so cheap, Baptist. I want the Baptist discount when you get that real estate license. And welding, I mean, look, years ago we said, man, you got to get that college degree, not necessarily anymore. Somebody's got to build bridges. Someone has to put steel up. Someone has to erect these buildings. Someone's got to lay some brick. I've been watching the advancement of the building over there at Jackson General Hospital these last few months. I was over there the other day, and man, I mean, those bricklayers are going to town. Somebody's got to lay the brick. By the way, they look good too. Somebody's got to lay the block. Somebody's got to put electrical wiring in. Somebody's got to plumb it. Dear God, thank you for not calling me to be a plumber. And I hate it. I hate it. Amen. Welding and all. I mean, look, there are opportunities now that, I mean, an open door in our nation. I mean, there are people that are too lazy. They're too lazy to work. Let's just be honest. They're too lazy. We have truck drivers here today. I mean, there are companies that are trying to hire truck drivers. I mean, giving advances and all of this, trying to add some incentive. Americans have become lazy. We're laying up. COVID has hurt us in that, but maybe it showed a lack of character in the very fabric of our nation. Maybe COVID didn't cause it. Maybe COVID revealed it. But let me just say about all of that, there's a contentment in finishing something. There's a contentment in that. And you know, Paul said godliness with contentment is great gain. You think about a goal that's been achieved. Somebody said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Aim at something. I think about this contentment, this open door of contentment. I think about a time that's now behind you as a graduate. I think about my age and those golden years and all of that. I think about, as we look back at our lives, you know, we can all look back and say, you know, I wish I'd have taken a different turn here, or if I had it to do over. But you know what I like to think? I like to think, thank God I made the decisions I did make. Thank God I made these right decisions. I blew it. I sinned. I made mistakes along the way. But I'm thankful that I'm where I am. And we look back in our lives with contentment, whether you're graduating or whether we're getting closer to graduating up there. We look back at a time that's behind you. Don't be complacent at whatever stage you are in life. Don't become complacent. Reflect on this time and rejoice in this time and then recharge for this time and charge into the next chapter of life. Not only does this contentment reflect a time that's behind you, but it reflects a task that's before you. Someone said that doing the will of God is the greatest success in all the world. Finding the will of God and doing it. Don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. Find the will of God today. Be in the will of God today. Be right with God today, and you'll be in the will of God tomorrow. A contentment, a goal that's been achieved. I think about that task that's before you. No matter where we are in life, that open door of content, there's still a task before us. We might look back and have contentment, and we rejoice in that, but then we move on. Amen? And so there's a task that's before you. There's a time behind you, but there's a toil that's beginning for you. There's a toil that's beginning. There's a tomorrow that beckons you. He said, I've set before thee an open door. And no man can shut it. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of thy calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That contentment, that door of contentment, a goal that's been achieved. But secondly, there's a commencement, a going ahead. Not just a goal achieved, but a going ahead, a commencement. I used to wonder about that. I used to think, why do they call it a commencement? It's a commencement because we're commencing. We're starting anew. You know, we've come up, we've got our high school degree. All right, there's a commencement. We're headed out into life. Our college degree. All right, there's a commencement. A commencement. We're starting. We're moving. There's a commencement. That open door. He said, I've set before thee an open door of commencement. A going ahead. It's an open door. It's an open door. I mean, I look around here, I see potential everywhere. Everywhere. A commencement. It's not an end, but a beginning. You know, you'll face some things as you commence in life and as you commence after a degree or as you commence after you've accomplished something. Maybe some of you have come up on your retirement and now you don't look at retirement as that. But let me just challenge you to look at your retirement as a commencement. It's a commencement. It's a going ahead. Sure, you're going to enjoy some things that you've looked forward to and longed for a long time, but let me challenge you to keep going ahead. And you'll face some things in your commencement. May I say, young people, you'll face differences of opinion. That's why Paul said that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. That's why Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know about him. I know him. I know whom I believe. And I'm persuaded. We need some persuaded people that in this commencement of life, this door that's been opened, this commencement, this contentment, but a going ahead that will say, with God's help, I want to know him. I know whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed him against that day. We need some young people, young adults that will say, when I face differences of opinion, It's not going to sway me. I know whom I believed. That's the difference. That's the difference. That's why we have tried to prepare you, your parents and Sunday school teachers and youth pastor and deacons and others here that have, and grandparents and parents have tried to prepare you to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when you face those differences of opinion, you're not going to hang your head and cower because it's a conviction with you. I know him. I've walked with him. He's been good to me for these 13 years. He's been good to me for these 18 years. He's been good to me for these 22 years. He's been good to me for these 70 years. He's been good to me. I know him. I know not just about him. I know a lot about him, but I know him. A personal relationship with Jesus. And I think that'll make all the difference if we know him. It's a commencement, a going ahead when we face those differences of opinion. Don't back down. Don't back up. Don't back over. Don't let, you know, keep going. You'll face differences of opinion. And then secondly, you'll in this commencement, this going ahead, you'll face despisers that will bring opposition. Despisers of those that do good. The Bible speaks of them. 2 Timothy 3:3, in the last days perilous times shall come, and you're going to face despisers of those that do good. You're going to face it. Just smile and say, fine, this is what I believe. This is where I'm going. That's the only way we can change our nation and bring our nation back to some sensible order. It's for some young people with conviction to say, when I face opposition, when I face differences of opinion, despisers of those that do good, when I face what Paul described as many adversaries, I'm going to keep going ahead. Because I know whom I believe. Not only despisers with opposition, but you'll face decisions that have outcomes. Israel came to Kadesh Barnea one day. They came to Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter 14, and Kadesh means wandering. They came there, and God said, go on in. They said, but there's giants there. Joshua and Caleb came back with the other 10 spies and said, we be well able to go up. There are walled cities there. There are giants there, but there are grapes there this big. The land of Canaan. Is not this the land of Canaan? And they didn't believe God. They came to Kadesh Barnea and they did not believe God. They had made a decision, and that decision had outcomes. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It makes no sense for you young people to go through 12 years of life trusting the God of your parents, the God of the Bible, being involved in youth group, being involved in serving God, and then go out into the world And just chuck it all? That makes no sense. I mean, listen, we'll change a nation and bring a nation back to where it ought to be, and you'll have the blessings of God. Decisions have outcomes. When you come to your Kadesh, make the right decision. Keep serving him. Look at life. Look, this is a commencement. And I'm coming out of the barrel. I'm coming out of the end of the cannon. I'm shooting into the. Hey, go ahead and be idealistic. Go ahead. Have a dream. Have a big dream. I know pastors that have given up on their dream. Sometimes God adjusts your dream. I know people that have given up on their dream. Don't quit dreaming. Because God said, where there's no vision, people perish. There are decisions with outcomes in this going ahead, this commencement. There are despisers that bring opposition. There are differences of opinion, but I like this. There are deliverances that will open up. God said, I've set before thee an open door. God opened it. I've set before thee an open door. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. You'll know it when I read it to you. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I'm saying that deliverances will open up. He said over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11, he says to the people of Israel, but he said, I think us too. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Isn't it good to know that God's thinking about you? God's thinking about you. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. We think about graduates. We think about retirees. And we think about those in the middle. We think about young marrieds and young families and all of this. God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected end. God said, look, I've got an expected end, and it's more than just heaven. I want you to enjoy the journey along the way. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Yes, it's a commencement. Enjoy it. Hang that diploma on the wall. Whatever open door you're going through, I often tell brides, and especially brides, you know, they plan their wedding for a year, 10 years, whatever. And I said, look, this is just the beginning. Don't put all of your eggs in the wedding basket. That's just one day. Man, look forward. Find your satisfaction. I usually say that to the bride and the groom, but find your satisfaction in the days the month after the honeymoon. When the first bills come in. And just hug your spouse and say, man, this is what I dreamed of. This is what I dreamed of. You know, the cars broke down. We're behind, you know, on our utilities. This is what I dreamed of. The baby's crying. You get up. You know, this is what we were looking forward to. If all you do is just say, man, I can't wait for that wedding. The wedding. The dress, the pictures, and I mean, the honeymoon, all of that. You're going to be disappointed. You better find your happiness in Christ. Find your happiness in the will of God. Find your happiness in loving her, loving him, or loving Christ. There are deliverances that will open up. God said, I've got plans for you. Now, if God has plans for us, I sure want to get in on that. I remember Melba Butcher, Brother Danny's mother's gone to heaven a few years ago. Great prayer warrior. And Miss Butcher used to say this. She said, I don't want to miss one thing that God has for me. I don't want to miss anything God has for me. And I don't think she did. I don't want to miss anything God has for me. Hey, it's a commencement. Enjoy it and then take off. A going ahead, a contentment, a goal achieved. Finally, notice this, a continuing with a godly affection. Continuing with a godly affection. He said, I've set before thee an open door. I, Jesus said this, have set before thee an open door. A godly affection. If we'll go into the future, if we'll go through that open door, if we'll continue with that godly affection. For me to live is Christ, Paul said. To die is gain. If we develop that mindset, that heart set, that it's all Jesus, it's him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Acts 20, he said in verse 24, Paul said to the Ephesian elders, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. And the path, the thing that you've given me to do, I'm going to continue to do, God said, Paul said. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things. Make Christ your godly affection. Make Christ your goal. Christ in everything. Christ is our foundation. No other foundation, Paul said. Christ is our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I was reading a sermon this week by Dr. Curtis Hudson in The Sword. He was preaching on the axe head that swam. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the sons of the prophets were building a dormitory or something there. And they were chopping wood to build this building for the sons of the prophets, the preacher boys, to stay in. And one of them was just chopping away, and the axe head flew off and fell in the water in the Jordan there. And Elisha said, and one of the young sons of the prophets comes up to Elisha the prophet and said, "Alas, master, it's borrowed. I borrowed that axe head, and it's in the bottom of the river." And Elisha said, "Where is it?" He said, "Right in there." And he took a stick and he threw that stick in there, which represents Christ going into death for us. And that axe head floated to the surface, a miracle of God, and swam to the bank. He picked up the axe head. You read about 2 Kings 6. Some of you look at me like I'm crazy. He took that axe head, put it back on the axe handle, and started chopping away again. Dr. Hudson said, It's not who you are, it's whose hand you're in. God has saved us and God has called us for service. It is a commencement. It is a continuance. But we got to have that godly affection. Christ ought to be the key. He gives this illustration in that message. I'll read part of it. Dr. Hudson said, "We don't have to be much. If we can get ourselves into the hands of God in absolute surrender to Christ, He can do mighty things with unimportant people like us. The secret," he said, "is to be in His hand like that axe head." He said, "God has picked up some old rusty tools over the centuries that astounded the world." He tells about years ago, he said, a huge crowd had assembled for a concert. They'd paid enormous ticket prices to listen to the world famous Paganini. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Paganini was a violinist, and while he was tuning his violin, one of the strings broke. He kept tuning, and the second string broke, Paganini. As he continued tightening the strings, the third string broke, and the people were now growing restless, and they'd paid a lot of money to hear him play, and they began to hiss and to boo the great Paganini. Paganini held the violin up in one hand, and in a whisper that could be heard all over the great hall, he pointed to the damaged violin. And he said, one string and Paganini. One string and Paganini. And he commenced from that place, from that one remaining string, came music that thrilled every ear that was assembled there. When he finished, they were standing and applauding. And it wasn't the instrument, but it was the hand the instrument was in. Dr. Hudson said this, "The secret of success is not who you are, but whose you are." Let God take your life. It might be broken, but let God tune you and play a wonderful, wonderful concerto from your life. Let God bring glory through your life. Foundation. Christ is our foundation. Christ is our faith. But here's the thing. Christ is our future. He said, "I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." I was studying this week, and I came across, a great truth I wanted to share with you. Romans chapter 8, we know it as the chapter of many things, but it also, in the end, Paul lists a whole list of things that could separate some people from that which they love. But he said, all these things can't separate us from the love of Christ. And he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, "Now in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." I've set before thee an open door. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Conquerors, more than conquerors. I looked at that phrase, more than conquerors. The word conqueror is the Greek word hupernikeo. Hupernikeo. And huper is the word from which we translate hyper. You might have a child that you say, "Man, my child is hyper." Hyper has an idea. Huper means hyper. It means more than. It means excessive. They have excessive energy. They're hyperactive. It means they're super. They're super active. That's what huper means. Huper Nikeo. You might recognize the word Nike in the middle of that. Nike. Some of you might have some tennis shoes or that are Nike tennis shoes or Nike sports equipment. Nike means victor. It means victorious. Paul said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are hyper Nikeo. We are super victors. Nikeo means victor. It describes an overcomer. It describes a conqueror. It describes a champion. It describes mastering something. But more than anything else, a conqueror describes one who knows and has the victory. Paul said, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're hyper victors. We are super victors. We are super champions in Christ. We're super champions. I mean, we're over and above. We are over the top champions, over the top victors, if we are in Christ. In Christ. Not in ourselves, but through Jesus, we're more than conquerors. Through Jesus, we can continue. Through Jesus, and He is our godly affection, that I may know Him. I've set before thee an open door, a contentment, a commencement, a continuance. Enjoy it. Whatever it is in life, whatever open door you've gone through, but move on from there. There's a going ahead. And find your satisfaction in Jesus. And be hyper. Be hyper about it. Be hyper victorious. Over and above all that we can ask or think. That's what Jesus is to me.